Welcome to this service of worship, coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh on this, the second Sunday of Easter. My name is Colin Douglas, and I am the Minister for Pastoral Care. You will hear several other voices this morning, hopefully including your own, as you join in the singing of the praise and in the saying of the Lord's Prayer. Our vocal ensemble this morning comprises Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Tim Cooper, Drew Crichton and Andrew Carville. Our pianists are Drew Crichton and Tim Cooper. Francis Cooper will read the scripture passage, and Dorothy Tarrant will lead us in the prayers of intercession. We are grateful to Andrew Carville for editing this service of worship and to Alison Bruce, who coordinates our online presence. Let us worship God. Scripture speaks of things beyond our seeing, prepared by God for those who love him. And these are what God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Let us pray. Loving God, here in Scotland, as elsewhere throughout the world, we are being faced with a series of unprecedented challenges that are having an impact on every facet of our lives. In the aftermath of Easter, we are mindful that the experience of being abandoned and forsaken was felt in all its horror by your Son, as he hung helpless and dying on the cross. We know too that wherever we are and whatever we are faced with, underneath are the everlasting arms. Loving God, you are with us in our journey from darkness into light. Hold us when we feel alone. carry us when we lose our strength, and heal us when we are afraid. Cast out the darkness of our anxiety, fear, and mourning. Enfold us in your love, and give us joy and hope this Eastertide. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Jesus said, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be always with you.
The New Testament lesson is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, reading from verse 19. Jesus appears to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Jesus comes when life is at its lowest ebb. Today is traditionally known in the church as Low Sunday, the Sunday which follows on from all the joy and jubilation of Easter Day, the Sunday when we come back down to earth with a bang. Low Sunday, the Sunday following all the highs and hype of Easter. And the gospel reading for Low Sunday features Thomas, the disciple who missed out on all the wonders of the first Easter day. Thomas must have been at a very low ebb indeed. He had broken away from all the others, so that when they gathered together on that first Easter evening behind locked doors, a fearful and frightened bunch of dispirited men, Thomas was not there with them. He was not there when Jesus came and showed them his hands and his side. To be fair to Thomas, he wasn't the only one who found it difficult to believe that Jesus had conquered death and had appeared to some of the women. All the disciples found it hard to believe. It seemed to them all to be simply too good to be true. And then again, Thomas seems to have been something of a loner. He'd quit the fellowship. He'd given up on that and had gone his own way, all alone with his misery and despair. Maybe you have felt in these difficult and isolated times in which we are living, some of the doubt and despair which Thomas felt in the days after the death of his beloved friend and leader. Maybe you know what it is like to feel low and dispirited and to be cut off from those you love, those who are your nearest and dearest. In the days between that first Easter evening and the following Sunday evening, someone must have managed to get hold of Thomas and persuade him to return, because we read that a week later the disciples were all together again behind closed doors and Thomas was with them. As Derek Browning writes in the April issue of Life and Work, and I quote, "In John's Gospel, it is the Sunday after the resurrection that the Thomas story is told. That low Sunday, when Jesus appeared to him and the others. It's good to realise," he goes on, "that Jesus appears not only on the high and holy days of life, but also on the darker days, when doubt gnaws at us and disappointment, fear and pain are not far away." Doubting Thomas. Not so much doubting Thomas, writes Browning, but honest Thomas. Questioning Thomas. Courageous Thomas. searching Thomas. There's more faith, someone has said, in honest doubt than half the creeds. Questioning, doubting, caution, these are some of the necessary ingredients in the recipe for a rounded and fully developed faith. We need a faith that we have hammered out for ourselves on the anvil of our own experience of life. Not just one that is like a ready-made meal which someone else has prepared and handed on to us. Doubts, says Frederick Buchner, the American Presbyterian, doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving. When Jesus was 12 years old, his parents, who had been searching for him, found him sitting in the temple, surrounded by the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Here is the adolescent Jesus beginning to hammer out a faith of his own with the help of the guardians of the tradition which has been handed down to him. We need the tradition which the institutional church hands down to us, but we also need the critical, questioning attitude which ensures that we own that tradition for ourselves. Jesus turned to Thomas and invited him to touch the wounds and feel for himself that it really was he. But seeing was proof enough for Thomas, and he cried out in wonder, "My Lord and my God." Jesus comes not only on the high and holy days to thrill and inspire us. Jesus comes when life is at its lowest ebb. Jesus comes to lift us up when we have fallen and to set us back on our feet. God comes, concludes Derek Browning, even our wounded God comes to stand in our midst and show us what love will do so that resolve may be strengthened, hope might come, and we might gasp with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Thomas won through in the end from doubt and despair to devotion and dedication. And that is the challenge that confronts us all, to work through all the doubt and despair that confronts us in life until we get to the place of devotion, the place which is the gateway to the encounter with God. Amen.
The Saviour died, but rose again, triumphant from the grave, and pleads a cause at God's right hand, omnipotent to
time's destroying sway. Heavenly Father, creator of the universe, sustainer of this world that you love, when our cares and concerns threaten to overwhelm us, you are our rock, our hope, our source of comfort and strength. We pray for all who are severely affected by coronavirus, for the sick and those struggling to hold on to life, for those who mourn a loss or grieve the separation from a loved one in hospital or care home, for those whose income is cut off, who are fearful about how they will support their families, for those whose home is not a safe place with no escape from fear and violence, for parents stretched to the limit with children at home, for the anxious, the lonely, the vulnerable. We bring them all to you, asking you to help, protect, comfort, and encourage them. In the name of Christ we pray. Loving God, hear us. We pray for those guiding our nation. May they make wise and just decisions. We pray for doctors, nurses, researchers and other medical professionals, that through their dedication and skills, this disease will be stopped and many will be restored to health. We pray for the workers who courageously serve us in ways that we used to take for granted, shopkeepers and cashiers, bin men and bus drivers, postmen, policemen and social workers, farmers and lorry drivers, and so many more. Protect them, and may they find real joy in service. In the name of Christ, we pray. Loving God, hear us. So many countries are affected. We thank you for cooperation between nations, sharing knowledge and resources, and the growing awareness that poorer countries need support if they are not to be devastated by this pandemic. We pray especially for countries whose infrastructures and medical services are in tatters because of years of war or because of recent climate disasters. We pray for refugees in camps where social distancing is not possible and hand washing a challenge. You have a special place in your heart for the poor. And so we ask you to protect those who cannot protect themselves. We pray for charities that are losing support from donors at a time when help is most needed, like Christian Aid and the Melange Mission Hospital. Touch hearts to give and multiply resources as you did with the loaves and fishes. In the name of Christ, we pray. Loving God, hear us. We pray for your church, both in our country and around the world. We thank you for this congregation and the many ways in which it is providing care, inspiration, delight, hope, and a sense of community. May we, as your people, reflect the compassion and light of Christ to those around us. Strengthen Rosie and Colin and others who lead us. Keep them safe. Guide them by your Spirit. May this be a time when people of faith everywhere minister your love to a hurting world. In the name of Christ, we pray. Loving God, hear us. Heavenly Father, you don't want us to be anxious, but to bring our concerns to you. You promise that our hearts and minds will be held steady with your peace, which passes all understanding. May it be so for us all. Amen.
Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace of the Sun of Peace to you. And may the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.